at a very sacred place here in Koladweep. There are 9 islands in Navadweep Dham, and this is Koladweep, sometimes also called Varaha Kshetra. And the name for this island is derived in the following way. Satya Yuga, there was one Brahmana named Vasudev, and he was a worshipper of Lord Varaha. And there wasn't all the buildings and roads and dogs and noise. It was very, 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 very simple and beautiful. And with the natural arrangements of the trees and the flowers and whatever nature's arrangement was there, he spent his whole day in a very serious, sincere mood to worship the personality of Godhead. And because of that worship, he became very attached to Lord Varaha. So much attached that he wished to see his manifest form. And he prayed very sincerely and intently for the Lord to manifest form, in addition to the deity form, which is also the form of the Lord. Pleased by the ardent devotion of Vasudev, Varaha showed his form as tall as a mountain, with very large tusks and the form of a boar, as the personality of Godhead. And he was radiant like the sun in all directions. And Vasudev fell to the ground before the Lord in weeping and astonishment and joy. And then Lord Varaha spoke with him and said, in this very island, here in Navadweep, I will make my appearance in Kali Yuga. I will appear in golden form, and I'll be constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord, and in this way, distributing love for Krishna throughout the land. And you will appear along with me to assist me in my pastimes. And suddenly, the Lord disappeared. So from that time, the island has been called Koladweep. Or to this day, Koladweep, amongst the 9 islands of Navadweep. And this part of Koladweep is the residence of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And as you see on the altar, the deity worshipped by the Siddha Purusha, or Siddha Baba. Jagannath does understand by his contemporaries, not just afterwards, that he had achieved the stage of spiritual perfection. And he spent 43 years here at this location. And of course it didn't look then like it looked now. In fact, now it looks a lot different than the last time I was here. And that was different than the previous time. But when he lived here, it was just a little hut and a couple of other buildings, one for his assistant, Bihari, who lifelong took personal service of Das Babaji. What great fortune for Bihari, and what great qualification he had to perform that service. In the backside, going out towards the Ganga, you make a little left turn, there's a place where Gaurakishore Das Babaji had direct darshan of the personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the course of his absorption in chanting. He lived quite a long time. Different accounts, something in the range of 146 or 149 years of age. Not so long ago in our line of disciplic succession. He was a contemporary of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, although much his in age. He was born in the year 1750, and you add 149 years to that, and so around 1900, 1750, just before 1900. That's the span of time that he lived. He was born in now Bangladesh, and in a very aristocratic family. After some years, he moved to Vrindavan, and he spent most of his life, or a very large portion of his life, in Vrindavan, and living fully absorbed in what we're not qualified to do. He lived the life of a genuine Babaji. Now, Srila Prabhupada has described that there are these two paths, Gaustiya Nandi and Bhajana Nandi. The Gaustiya Nandi, what we are advised to do, advised to follow the path of taking shelter of the mood of Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami and the six Goswamis and the followers of the six Goswamis, and very enthusiastically and vigorously engage in preaching work, extending the message and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya very widely. Gaustiya Nandi. And Bhajana Nandi commonly will stay in one place and simply engage in devotional practices up to, of, ideally, spiritual perfection. Our path for spiritual perfection and a Bhajana Nandi's path of spiritual perfection look very different. And very, very rare is it to find someone who can properly perform that kind of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur strongly and sternly advised not to do like that, not to imitate this very famous writing, Dushtamana. Oh, wicked mind. Dushtamana. Under pretense, you're wishing to imitate the activities of Haridas Thakur and sit in a solitary place engaging in devotional practice, when in your mind you're entertaining so many abominable thoughts. Dushtamana, oh wicked mind. And we'll hear today, and also more when we visit Svananda Sukhada Kunj and the Samadhi, the Bhajan Kutir of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, we'll hear more about the contention that Gaurakishore Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur undertook to counteract the predominant mood amongst the followers of Lord Chaitanya at that time. Was the real teaching of Lord Chaitanya had become lost, and a whole 13 different varieties and subsets of those varieties were impurely and improperly imitating themselves as the followers of Lord Chaitanya and doing all kinds of abominable things. So much so that the teaching of Lord Chaitanya and the name Chaitanya had developed a bad name. Well, I won't mention the name, but there's one devotee, a Bengali devotee, who's very well educated, and he described to me, it's a fact, Maharaj, when I was in college and there was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Gaudiya, and we heard the name Lord Chaitanya, we immediately thought, oh, abominable, those people are bad amongst learned circles, because that's what was going on in the name of Lord Chaitanya. And so, prior to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji and Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji were contending with this deviation. So, part of the glory of Jagannath Das Babaji was he was the real thing. He was perfect in following that path. And he was recognized by those who were in Vrindavan and then later coming here to Navadvip as having attained the stage of perfection. His mood was much less confrontational. Gaurakishore Das Babaji's mood, he was very, confrontational. No nonsense. Rather, Jagannath Das Babaji just exhibited the stage of spiritual perfection. Bhakti Vinod Thakur personally met him. You will hear when we go to Bhakti Vinod Thakur's house at Svananda Sukhada Kunj on the other side of the Jalangi, where we were supposed to go today, but there was that traffic jam. So we didn't. During some period of time, Bhakti Vinod Thakur wanted, when he was still functioning as a government officer, he wanted to visit various holy places. And so he went to Vrindavan in 1880. So do the math. Jagannath Das Babaji was born in 1750s. So in 1880, he's around 130 years old and a perfected soul. So when Bhakti Vinod Thakur met Jagannath Das Babaji, they were very happy together. They spent long time discussing Krishna Katha, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur writes that he received many valuable instructions from Jagannath Das Babaji on the genuine teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are found, agree, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Certainly, following that, the teachings of Rupa Goswami, which Bhakti Vinod Thakur had studied. He had studied Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami and the writings of the six Goswamis. He was not unfamiliar. But to hear the realized Siddha Baba, it was very significant. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur personally gave him the title Sarvabhoma. So we have our pranam mantra to Jagannath Das Babaji. He's referred to in that way. Sarvabhoma. Bhoma, it means the most erudite amongst all the devotees, the most learned, perfectly realized personality. Sarvabhoma Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai. There's many different pastimes that would be nice to describe. In the year 1893, residing here in Kulia, he went to see Surabhi Kunj. That's where Bhakur resided. And when he went there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, the whole place became luminous just by his presence. And he and Bhaktisiddhanta, Sarah, his son, and Jagannathas Babaji conducted discussions together, three generations, more or less, having very, who can imagine, high-level, wonderful Krishna Katha together. They very much enjoyed one another's association. He also, subsequently, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, identified the Yogpith, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where we visited first yesterday, from some place here in Navadvip. Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw from a veranda, from Rani Dharmshala, the effulgence of a very tall... He discovered the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We'll discuss that some more also. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur spent 2 years living at the Yogpith when he was in the process of constructing that initial temple, combating opposition from over here in Koladweep, saying, no, this is Navadweep. And he was saying, no, this is the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. So Jagannath Das Babaji visited him there at that time as well. During that visit, at that time, he was 147 years old. And as he became very old like that, he couldn't stand straight. So we often see pictures of him bent over, because just like his samadhi, this is his actual samadhi. And they say full body samadhi. He was bent over and he was unable to walk. So Bihari, his assistant, carried him in a basket. It was understood that he was lame. He couldn't walk. But when he was taken to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to confirm whether or not, in fact, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur had shown him all of the evidence, but when he physically went there, it is said he leaped out of the basket 6 feet in the air and said, Gaura Hari, Gaura Hari, this is the place. Here in Koladweep, then it was called Navadweep, and today it's called Navadweep, but here in Koladweep he was being carried by Bihari, and one man came and offered a donation. He just placed 1 rupee in the basket. And after Bihari carried him for about a few miles, Jagannath Das Babaji said, go back, find the man. And he said to the man, I don't know how you do it. I've been carrying just 1 rupee, and the weight has been so much, I cannot bear the weight. You must have so many rupees. You must be burdened by all the weight of all that rupee, all those rupees. You carry this. You have the capacity. I don't have the capacity. 1 rupee. Indicating that the burden of a wealthy person is trying to be the enjoyer and the protector and so forth and so on of wealth. But it just brings misery. It doesn't bring real happiness. And that one should not accept from a worldly person pounds, shillings, pence contribution. It may end up contaminating the mind of an aspiring transcendentalist. There's a deity here that was directly personally worshipped by Jagannath Das Babaji. The name of the deity is Rad and Giridhari. and there's also deities of Nittai Gauranga that he worshipped. But during some time when he was living in Vrindavan, he lived near Suryakund. Suryakund has transcendental significance in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Radharani would go sometimes to Suryakund and worship Suryadev. And Krishna knew that, so he would go and meet with Radha at Suryakund, and many nice pastimes took place. So in Kanpan, those pastimes of Radha and Krishna, he made his residence in Suryakund. Even now, Suryakund is quite remote, but then it was, relatively speaking, even more remote, and in a very, very simple and a distant place. So he requested Bihari to make an arrangement for a deity for him. So, because he very much wanted, in addition to his bhajan, to have some deity to worship. So he went to Radhakund, which was not so far, and someone donated, a family donated deities of Gornitai, and they were very beautiful deities, and they were golden in color. So some dacoits thought, maybe they're made of gold. So in the dead of night, tried to steal the deities of Gornitai, but by transcendental arrangement, they never made it. And the deities were then recovered by Bihari Lal. And so then, being concerned about the safety of the deity, Napinas, because they were such golden color, he requested Bihari to go to Vrindavan and find a place where they can be worshipped properly. So that those deities became known as Sona Gauranga, and eventually, I don't know the sequence of events, but they became placed in the care of the devotees who are at the Radharaman temple, Gopal Bhatta Goswami's descendants. And they, that Radharaman temple, maintain this other, some distance away, but a separate temple of Sona Gauranga. And then he requested, please get another deity. I want to worship the deity. So, in a pile of straw by Radhakund, a deity of Sadbhuj, the six-armed form of two arms of Lord Chaitanya with his items in his hand, and Lord Ramachandra and Krishna, the Sadbhuj form of the Lord. And that Sadbhuj form of the Lord was worshipped for a number of years by directly by Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And when he decided to move from Vrindavan to come to Navadvip, those deities were entrusted to someone else to worship. That worship continued, or his remaining in Vrindavan continued for another 10 years. And then he desired very much, through the association of Bhakti Vinod Thakur and his inspiration, to directly behold the place of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, to come here to Navadvip. So an arrangement was made for him to go by train, and Bihari was with him the whole way. And in the course of the travel, the conductor of the train met Jagannath Das Babaji and became so moved by his presence that he made an arrangement for the train to make a special stop so it would be least inconvenienced. And the train stopped at Ambika Kalna, where we're going to go one day. And he got off the train and was taken to meet Bhagavan Das Babaji. And a very amazing pastime took place between these two. As soon as they saw each other, it was like a transcendental event. They just spontaneously embraced one another, according to the historical account. It was 10 o'clock in the morning, and they were lost in a trance of ecstasy until 11 o'clock at night. They were not in touch with external consciousness. And the assistant of Bhagavan Das Babaji got an anxiety, and he's supposed to take care of his master. So I asked, So Bihari began to massage Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's chest and softly chant Krishna's name in his ear. And after some time, his eyes opened and he looked around. And then they cooked for him and they took prasad by midnight. So then he stayed for some time. We'll see the samadhi of Bhagavan Das Babaji when we go to Ambika Kolna, but now you're hearing a little of the katha in relation to that event. And he stayed for some days. When it was time, this Rukmininath just told me on the way over here, Bhagavan gave him 40 rupees. Because he had people similarly would give him donations something sometimes, so he wanted to give to a qualified person, so he gave 40 rupees. With those 40 rupees, this land was purchased. 40 rupees was worth more than 40 rupees today. He was asked, would you like to stay in a dharmshala? And he said, no dharmshala. Just stay under a tree. So he found a tree that he liked. And then the rupees purchased the land, and someone else dug a well, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur established the initial two or three buildings that were here so that Jagannath Das Babaji could stay where he wouldn't get drenched by the rain in the rainy season and stay out of the scorching heat in the summer season. So it was a very, very simple residence here. And of course it wasn't built up like it is built up now. And he remained here for 32 years. I mean, there some people here that are not 32 years old yet. What to speak of some people that will never live to be 147. And while here, he absorbed himself in the chanting of the holy name. And different persons would come to take his blessings. And we'll describe a little bit of that. In his chanting, he strictly observed Chaturmasya, where he would increase his chanting, and he followed a very strict regimen. Only 4 bananas each day in the evening for the first month. Feeling hungry already? Second month, only guavas in the evening. In the third month, some buttermilk, and that was it, in the evening, once a day. And the fourth month, flowers a tree for 1 month. And when we visited Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's place, maybe you saw, or maybe you didn't see, the place where he did his vrata, so many names of Krishna for 10 years. Over on the side, if you look from the right side, you could see on the left side was a flat piece of marble. He put his hands behind his back, tied them, and then he leaned forward, which means that your stomach shrinks when you lean forward, not using his hands, mouth. And during Chaturmasya, he wouldn't shave, so he's got his beard all messy. And he would eat unsalted khichdi until his stomach couldn't take anymore, or till he was finished. And as soon as he sat, was it for the day. For 4 months. Try it. Try it for one meal. try just unsalted khichdi. So these are some examples of our recent great acharyas. Although spiritually very, very elevated, they were not slack in performing of austerities. He had a practice that he advocated and personally performed, where he went to Rishikesh, performed a process that he identified as Purushcharana. And the Purushcharana process was for 3 full months, he would follow the following procedure. Early in the morning, take his bath, and then his bath, go into a little room that was about as big as his body, and with a door, and close the door, and chant all day long, and at night, take a meal. Chant until the sunset, and then take one meal, and then take rest. And if no speaking, not one word for 3 months. Sometimes we have our japa retreats and we have this practice of mona, and some people can't do that. But not just they forget, they can't do that. And some people forget. So, and whenever even passing air or passing stool or passing water, take another bath, go back, put himself in that little room and shalom for 3 months. One time he was doing this, and after the second month, just out of neglect, out of habit, he spoke something to Bihari. So he started over again and went for another 3 months. So it was 5 months. But his mission was perfection. His mission was to achieve that which the Holy Name can deliver in fullness. And he was fixed. He had no interest other than that interest. During one period of time, when he was living in Vrindavan, he had great respect for the residents of Navadvip and the residents of Vrindavan. He was living in Vrindavan, and one street sweeper, some bread, and Jagannath Das Babaji accepted the bread. And the other Babajis were going, whoa, this is something that an elevated person doesn't do, take food from a lowly street sweeper. So then they decided to come and confront him with this disturbance, and he spoke to them very strongly and said, these are Vrijvasis. These are residents of Vrindavan. And therefore, the great sages have wished to come and take their birth in Vrindavan simply to serve personality of Godhead. And I see these personalities as far more elevated than the so-called Babajis who are engaging in materialistic activity in the name of elevated spiritualists. So because of that disturbance, challenge that was made, he decided to go to a more remote place and do his devotional practices peacefully. So he went just deep, deep, deep into the forest and finally found a nice place he liked underneath a tree. And Bihari was in anxiety because he wanted to take care of Jagannath Das Babaji. So he requested, is it okay if I go and perform Madhukari to the local village people? And Jagannath Das Babaji said, you have no faith. Here's a pair of kartals. Just chant. So Bihari, being obedient, he just sat under the tree and played the kartals and chanted. And person know of these two personalities and came, started bringing everything that they needed. So So Bihari got a realization. Just the implicit faith in the holy name of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Another time here in Navadweep, there was a flood. It didn't just rain a little bit like it did yesterday and this morning. It was, you know, full rain, and the whole of the Ganges flooded the Navadweep area. And Jagannath Das Babaji was in his little bhajan kutir sitting by the side of Navadweep, by the Ganges. So people were in anxiety, but a whole boat somehow mysteriously came with 20 kilos of rice and everything that he needed to take care of his necessities. Because of his implicit faith in Krishna is my protector. This is one of the characteristics of surrender. We can't imitate these activities. This is just to give us some picture of the elevated status of Jagannath Das Babaji. One time, here in Navadweep, Bihari became very ill. And periodically, he was so ill, he just became unconscious with very fur. And the persons that came to see Jagannath Das Babaji became very worried. They wanted to take him to a doctor. But a medical expert came and diagnosed that within a day, his fever is so intense, if it doesn't break, he'll die. So Jagannath Das Babaji took a tulsi leaf offered to the deity, placed it on his tongue, and in his ear started chanting the Maha Mantra. And by the morning, his fever broke. This had been going on for days. And Bihari was so service-minded. As soon as he was able to move around, his concern was, Jagannath Das Babaji hasn't eaten. So immediately went to the kitchen and made an offering and offered it to the deity and brought prasad for Jagannath Das Babaji. Here's a practical little item. Jagannath Das Babaji spoke about daily japa in this way. The best times for chanting japa is on your way to work driving your car. No, he didn't say that. It's riding in a bus on the way to the parikrama when everybody's talking. That's the best time to chant japa. No, he didn't say that. He said the best time for chanting is 3 a.m. until 7, and from sunset until 11 o'clock. And then a serious-minded devotee should sleep during those hours. And Lord Shiva comes on behalf of his master, Lord Krishna, to see who's sleeping and who's awake. It was his practice that he didn't leave remnants on his plate. He would take everything from his plate and sometimes even eat the plate, leaf plate. There was a female dog that gave birth to some puppies. And the puppies didn't know any better. They came when it was prasadam time and sat around and wagging their little tails. And Jagannath Das Babaji, by this time, his eyelids were practically closed. So it's like he couldn't see. But so Bihari was shooing the dogs away. And Jagannath Das Babaji refused to eat. Said, because the students of the Dham, they should eat. If I'm going to eat, I won't eat until you bring them back. So they lined the puppies up and took prasad. He had a basket where donations were put. Anybody came to give something, they put it in the basket. And although he could not see, he knew what was in the basket. So he would ask Bihari, sometimes give him a count, like what's in the basket. And Bihari would give a number. But the number wasn't what was in the basket. And so he would confront Bihari and say, there's more in the basket. Why are you not telling me what's in the basket? See, because I wanted to save something for your needs, because you'll give everything away that's in the basket to others. But he was like omniscient. So one time he said, take everything that's in the basket and feed all the cows and all the dogs in Navadvip Raskula. And Bihari said, well, what about the Babaji's? And he said, these persons are offenders. The dogs and the cows aren't offenders. Feed them. And he was serious, so they fed them Raskulas. And that was, the number that's given here is 200 rupees. If he got 40 rupees to buy this land, how many Raskulas can you buy with 200 rupees? There was a very well personality who came here because he heard that Jagannath Das Babaji was like a miracle worker. He was a mystic. He could do magic. So he came here and asked him, could he please show some magic? And Jagannath Das Babaji just shook his head and said, I don't know how to do any miracles. And then he took a stick, and with the stick he started beating the ground. And the wealthy man thought, I made him upset. He said, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, have I disturbed you? He said, no, I'm chasing away a goat who's eating a tulsi plant outside of the samadhi of Lokanath Goswami at Radhakund. And this was, it was telegram. So this wealthy man knew how to do telegrams. So he went to the place where you send a telegram to Radhakund to find out, is it true that something like this really happened at Radhakund? And he got a telegram back saying it was true. A goat was in the place causing a big disturbance, and the tulsi plant was happy. The man came back and offered his obeisances and fell at his feet and said, I had no idea who you really are. But the platform of perfection is not doing some miracle. The platform of perfection is attaining pure devotion to the personality of Godhead, where nothing of this world distracts one, and one remains fixed. This is where offenses come in chanting of the holy name, because the mind wants to go elsewhere. We all know what that one is. The mind wants to go elsewhere. But the root of all offenses is this very inattentiveness. But one who becomes so fixed, as Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was fixed, his attention didn't go anywhere. His attention, he was connected to the Prasadhead through chanting of the holy name. For some reason, he decided in this case to exhibit that spiritual attainment. But otherwise, normally, it wasn't something that he would exhibit. It was just something that he held within himself. So we're at this is his Bhajan Kutir, and this is his Samadhi, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who gone to Bhaktivinoda Thakur such inspiration. Although he functioned as a Babaji, he didn't function as a Gaustiya Nandi. He certainly had the vision and wisdom, and he passed both on to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although he had previously been initiated in Bihari Goswami, he accepted Jagannath Das Babaji as his Shiksha Guru and his be all and end all in his life. And as we know from the Pacific Succession, written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, although duly initiated, his instructing spiritual master was his principal source of inspiration and shelter. So, we can offer some prayers here in this very special place that Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and his total absorption and dedication to spiritual perfection through the chanting of the holy name and the compassion with which he wished others to also receive the same, that may he be kind and give us his mercy, that we may also receive from him attraction for the shelter of the holy name.